take your Bibles and turn with me tonight, if you would. Go with me to the book of James. We're gonna start out tonight in the book of James, James chapter number 1. We're going to have a short series out of this, just a few things that we're going to hit. We're going to kind of give an overview tonight, hit everything, and then we'll break it down a little bit more over the next few weeks. And so I'm looking forward to this. We're going to be talking a little bit about everybody's favorite subject, and that is we're going to be talking about patience. Everybody's favorite subject. Some people say, I don't pray for patience because I know that God's going to test me with that. I don't want to learn about patience, but we're going to find some good things out about patience. We're going to do what, yeah, hurry up and get to it, right? We're going to talk about waiting, and we're going to, basically what we're going to talk about is letting patience have its perfect work, its complete work in us, and we will find out what that means here in just a few moments. How many of you realize you have an assignment from God? But that assignment from God oftentimes involves a wait. And so as you are waiting, there are some things you need to be doing. Because it is during the wait process of the assignment that you will begin to see patience then having its perfect, complete work in you as it is preparing you for what God is leading you to do. And so we're going to learn a little bit about that. This series came, I don't know if you remember last time I was preaching a couple weeks ago, whenever that was. I didn't preach last Sunday, so the Sunday before. And I was preaching, and as I was preaching, I made a statement. I told Veronica to write that statement down because the Lord was building, dropping a message in my heart, right then. And I began looking at that statement, and that statement was, do not get comfortable in the current and in the flow and the way everything is going. Don't grow comfortable in the current. And wrote that down, and I've been looking at that, and I'm going to preach a message, a Christmas message, about that Sunday, so you'll want to be here for that. But also this series came out of that, that if we are not to grow comfortable in the current or in the normal way everything is flowing, then that means that God has some other things for us sometimes, and therefore there are wait times that accompany God's assignments. And in the wait times, what we do with that time is not wasted, but it is preparatory. Because then when God asks you to step out of the current and go the other way so that you can produce, you have to be ready for that moment. And so many times we miss the assignment because we have not spent the wait preparing for what God was wanting us to do. Okay, so that's where we're going to go a little bit tonight and over the next couple Wednesdays and see what we can learn about that. So James chapter 1, verse number 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So he's talking to the Jewish people, the Israelites that are scattered everywhere now. And we understand also then to us, all that are going to put our faith in Christ. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or diverse trials. Count it all joy. James is well known for putting out some very hard statements for us to wrap our mind around. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, let me ask you this right off the bat. Is that human nature? No. So right from the beginning, we must grapple and wrestle with the understanding that James is writing spiritual principles given to him by the Holy Spirit for those that would believe, and not just natural principles. Because he starts it off with something that is very unnatural, but is very spiritual. And he said, so my brethren, my fellow Christ followers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So now that's going to tell us something, so just bear with me a moment. But let patience have its perfect or complete work. Let patience fulfill its work that you may be perfect or complete and lacking nothing. Okay, so before we read on, let's go back there to that third verse. Knowing that the testing of your faith, so we count it all joy when we fall into various types of trials, whatever they might be. And the reason we can count it all joy is because we know that the testing of our faith produces something. And in this case, it produces patience. So that tells me that faith is going to be accompanied by trials, with trials, and involved in those trials will be some wait times, because there has to be time for patience to produce. Okay? Faith produces patience. Patience produces a complete person. So there's going to be trials. We talk about faith a lot, and rightfully so. But faith is accompanied by trials. How else would faith grow? How else would faith be applied? How else would faith be practical if there were never trials? Right? There is no victory unless there are fights or battles. There is no faith unless there is some sort of test, some sort of trial that you're going through. And faith wants to produce something, and so it's accompanied by these trials that brings faith about, and it produces patience, because with every trial, when faith is applied to every trial, there is a wait period for God's assignment and God's direction. Okay? But the ultimate goal is that you and I become complete people. Whole, perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Okay? So that tells me we need to understand what he's saying here, because it's going to become very important. Verse 5, then he says, now, I've said a very hard thing, very spiritual principle, that you're not going to be able to just easily apply in the natural. There's going to be some things you're going to have to wrestle with. So if any of you lacks wisdom, if you lack the understanding here, the wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask of God in faith. So now, we ask God for wisdom, but even when in the midst of various trials, we ask God for wisdom. Because we count it all joy, okay? But then also we understand that the testing of our faith produces patience, and patience is working a perfect work. So ask in faith, ask even in the midst of the test, for the wisdom of God to know what to do, how to respond, what to expect, how to move forward. Ask with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That type of person will never be complete. Their faith will never last the test. Patience will not be produced, and you will never become complete if you do not learn how to ask God for wisdom in faith while trials are all around you. Amen. So in the midst of trials, the trials will produce a completeness in you, but you must be ready to persevere and wait, and you must ask God for his wisdom in faith. Not wavering and doubting in your heart Because if you ask, but you're doubting in your heart and you're doing things your own way and you're not listening to God, you might as well not even ask, for you're not going to receive anything. You're a double-minded man and you're unstable in all of your ways. Okay? So, what I want to talk to us about is this concept of letting patience have its perfect work and what we can learn from that. Here's the journey that I want us to go on. First of all, if patience has a perfect work, then the opposite of that, impatience, will also have a work. Patience will do a completing work. Impatience will cause a divisive work. It cannot be, you're now doubting, you're not trusting, you're not relying, and so you cannot be complete. So the concept of patience having its perfect work is also buddied up with or accompanied by the idea that then there is the opportunity for impatience. How many of you have ever been impatient? See, patience brings completion, but impatience brings division. Doubt is being impatient. Amen. Patience is waiting, and we're going to talk about that. Now, let me talk to you, because this I begin to look at that, and I begin to look at impatience, and I begin to ask the Lord, and I begin to study out what does it mean when we are impatient, when we're not patiently waiting upon you, when we're not letting patience have its perfect work, when we're becoming impatient in the trials, in the tests, in the walk of life, what does that mean? Here's what I came up with. Impatience is this, and this is my definition, not Webster's definition or any other theological expert. This is just simply a definition I came up with. Impatience is this. You are impatient when you are dissatisfied with your current situation and you are apprehensive about your future. You will become impatient with God when you are dissatisfied with your current situation and apprehensive about your future. That will lead you to become impatient. You won't want to wait because you're dissatisfied with what's happening now and you're unsure about what is ahead of you. And so, God, I need clarity now, right now. I don't like where I'm at. I'm not sure about what's ahead of me. And so we can become very impatient. And if we are impatient, we will bring division into our life rather than if we will learn to be patient in our moments, in our times, God will bring completion to our life. So the question becomes, is this, do you want to bring division to your life or do you want to bring completion to your life? If you want to bring trouble and division and all this, be impatient. Just stomp through everything, demanding God answer everything on your time frame. And if he doesn't, do it your own way and just say, well, God, you'll just have to keep up and we'll just have to. If you want to bring hardship and division and struggle into your life, just be impatient. We all have an assignment. God has called us all to something, but for most of us, the assignment mainly involves waiting on direction from God. Amen. Here's something you need to understand. Most of your Christian life will be about patiently waiting on God's direction. Now, you might not have heard that, but that is the truth. Most of your Christian life is not about all the exploits. You do not spend most of your life with all the exploits and all the things. Most of your Christian life is spent waiting on God's direction on the steps to take. Come on now. Can y'all hear that? See, we've got it backwards. We've got this idea that a Christian life, boy, if we just have faith and we're just a Christian, then I mean every moment is just cram-packed, filled with action steps that God has given us. We just go from one step to the next, and here God tells us do this, and here he's telling us to do that, and here he's telling us to do this, and next step he's telling us to do that. But that's not how this thing really works. You get direction from God, you follow, but there's always weight involved. And I can't speak for everybody. Maybe you're the exception to the rule, but nearly everybody I know, waiting is a larger part than performing the step God had. Just think about it. Think back in your life. Think back to the great times that maybe God put something in your heart and you saw it come to pass. Most of the time spent with that was a wait process while you prepared for the moment God prepared you for. And when the moment happened and you received the blessing of God, the direction of God, the power of God, the favor of God, and you walked in that for a little bit, and then you headed to a new assignment and you had to learn to wait again. Amen. That's life, guys. And so waiting becomes vital. Patience becomes vital. If we are it's okay to be dissatisfied with the current situation, but if you tie dissatisfaction with the current to apprehension of the future, you will become very impatient, and you will not let God do a complete work in you. So we've got to figure this out, and we're going to take this out. So patience desires us to bring us to a perfect work, a complete work. And it's going to involve waiting. Okay, now let me hit this, and then we're going to go where we want to go tonight. If you're going to get to your perfect work, if you're going to get to the place of completion in God's assignment and experiencing what God has for you, you're going to have to deal with the dissatisfaction of the current. And next week we'll talk about that. How do you deal with the dissatisfaction of the current situation? When you find yourself dissatisfied with your current situation, God's giving you an opportunity to deal with you in that moment. We immediately want out of the current situation. God wants us to learn to deal with ourselves in the current situation. When you're dissatisfied with the situation around you right now, look at it this way. God is wanting you to look at yourself and say, Lord, help me to understand why I'm so dissatisfied. Not, oh God, and God already knows the circumstance. God, do you see what's happening? And God said, no, I'm seeing you. And I'm working on you in this moment. When you find yourself dissatisfied with where you are currently, instead of spending all of your effort and time trying to jump out of it, trying to get ahead of God, trying to figure out ways to get away from, take the moment to deal with yourself. And we'll talk about that next week, because in discontentment, in moments of dissatisfaction, moments of discouragement with your now, God's going to give you an opportunity to deal with something in your life. Patience will have a perfect work. And then you have to deal with your apprehension of the future. See, in the wait process, and we'll tie all this up, but when in the wait process of patience, as it's coming to a perfect work, you're going to have opportunity to deal with yourself, some things you're struggling with, and you're going to have to learn to deal with those that's brought about the dissatisfaction. And then you're going to have to deal with your apprehension of what's ahead of you. And the way you deal with apprehension of the future is now God gives you the opportunity to work out your walk with Him. Because apprehension of what's ahead of you reveals that you need to work on your relationship with God. Dissatisfaction with the current situation reveals you need to work on something inside of you that's brought this dissatisfaction. Apprehension of the future means you need to work on your relationship with God. Why are you so apprehensive about what's ahead that you can't see? If you are in full relationship with God, you say you trust. So in the wait process, there's some assignments. Okay. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. One of the most famous verses that we'll find in Scripture. One of my favorite. I don't really know if I have a favorite verse. I've got many favorite verses. But Isaiah 40 and 31 is one of those. But those who wait upon the Lord, they will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait upon the Lord. Again, we're back to this concept of patience, but not patience as inactivity. Patience in allowing patience to have its complete work in us. Those who understand how to wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will deal with the dissatisfaction of the moment. God will lead them to that. They will renew their strength. They will look inward enough to understand there is something that I've got to deal with. There's some fears. There's some frustrations. There's some failures. There's some whatever it might be that God wants me to deal with. There's some contentment issues that I need to deal with. So while I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm going to deal with those and I will renew my strength. And then they will mount up with wings like eagles. Now not only have we regained strength, but now it moves to like some supernatural thing. These people wait upon the Lord. They're going to be able to do what they... Why? Because now they also are preparing their relationship with God that they could even do the impossible with Him and through Him. They that wait upon the Lord. Okay? And then he goes on and he says, they will mount up with wings like it. They will run and they will not be weary. They shall walk and they will not faint. Why? Because they have waited upon the Lord. And they have renewed their strength and they have mounted up with wings as eagles. They've taken on their relationship with God. They've dealt with their inner problems that have brought them down. And now they're going to run and they're not going to grow weary. They're going to pursue their direction, their assignment. And they're going to walk in it and not faint. They're going to succeed. Patience is going to have its perfect work in them. Faith is going to rise up in them. And so this is an important concept that we must look at. So here's what I'm going to say to you tonight. There are four things that we must do for patience to have its perfect work in us. There are four concepts that you need to remember when you are facing various trials and when you are allowing patience to have its complete work in you. Here they are. The first one we've already mentioned, but we must wait. Four things you got to do. The first one is wait. The second one is watch. The third thing will be worship. And the fourth thing will be work. If you can remember this, this is your assignment while patience is having a complete work in you. This is when you don't know what else to do, you don't know exactly the steps to take, here's four things that you can do to prepare you for what God is going to ask you to do. You can first of all, you must learn to wait. You've got to. That's hard. That's a hard concept for Christians, I know. It's a hard concept for Spirit-filled Christians because we come to the conclusion that, well, since we're Spirit-filled, we shouldn't have to wait. The Holy Spirit just does work in us. Well, that's true, but there's still a waiting time. And waiting is not easy, but when patience is working on you, you've got to know how to wait. Perfect example of this is Moses. Perfect example. The Lord brought Moses to my mind as I was praying my way through this and studying through this. And the Lord said, I want you to go look at his assignment. We know Moses. We know the story. Pulled out of the river as a baby, raised by his mother, then brought into Pharaoh's home, raised up in Pharaoh's home. Apparently knew there was a call in his life to be some sort of a deliverer because he set about to do it on his own. We know the story. He went out one day and he saw an Egyptian harming a Hebrew, and he kills the Egyptian. Next day, he goes out and he sees two Hebrew brothers arguing with one another, and he says, "Hey, what are you doing to another?" And they said, "Oh, are you going to kill us too?" And he knew he was found out. And the Bible says he ran, he fled to the backside of the desert. For 40 years, Moses waited for an assignment that would appear at a burning bush. He didn't know what was coming, but he was in the midst of a wait. Patience was having a perfect work in him. Patience was completing him and preparing him for the moment the burning bush would appear and God would speak to him and give him his assignment. But you know what Moses had to learn during that 40 years? He had to learn how to wait. He learned how to watch. Because for 40 years, he tended sheep, and he watched them, and he led them, and he watched the hillside, and he watched for the adversary, and he watched for everything that was going on. He was watching. He was keeping an eye out. In fact, so much so that he was able to notice the bush burning on that day. And that wasn't really all that odd of a thing on the backside of the desert. Bushes would burn. But the oddity was, as he kept watching it, it was not consumed. He had to learn to watch. And he had to learn what worship really was. He had to learn to be who God had called him to be, even when he wasn't in the place he thought God had called him to. He had to learn to be able to still talk to God, even when he's on the backside of the desert. And he had to learn to work in the process. Whatever his hands would find to do, he was doing. He was busy doing whatever he could, even though he was waiting for God to give him his assignment that he didn't even understand. See, this is what we've got to realize. Wherever you are right now, you might feel like God has something completely different for you than where you are right now. But if you try to rush that, and if you try to get ahead of that, you're going to be impatient, and impatience won't have its complete work. Impatience will have a divisive work, and you will set yourself back rather than setting yourself ahead. Rather, while you're here, learn to wait, learn to watch, learn to worship, and learn to work through various trials. Because in doing that, faith is going to grow. Patience is going to be produced. Patience is going to have its perfect work. And in this whole process, the key to it all is asking God for wisdom. Helping you to understand. Helping you to stay fresh. Helping you to grow in Him. So you've got to realize this. So what are you saying? I'm saying, first thing we've got to learn is we've got to learn how to wait. You've got to wait on God. God does not operate in your timing or mine. He doesn't. God operates outside of our time. He is not on a time schedule that is put in place by man. God does not have a time schedule that we understand. Amen. The Bible says, you know, that His ways are higher than our ways. I've heard people say, you know, God's never early, He's never late, He's always right on time. Well, I understand the concepts behind that, but God is just God. And so His time, we can't really measure. Because I got to be honest with you, there have been times that I thought God has shown up too late. Amen. There have been times I thought God was too early. But every time, turns out, God was just in His own time frame. You have family members, they just live in their own time frame. You know, it doesn't matter what time zone you're in, they're in their own time zone, right? They're always going to, you could tell them to be there an hour early, and they're going to still be there 15, 20 minutes late. They operate in their own realm. Okay, now I'm not relating that solely to God. It's not that God is like them, but the idea of trying to fit God into our ways and time, you can't do that. You just got to learn to wait on God. You'll live more peacefully, more powerfully, and more productive and more prepared if you'll just learn to wait on God and not set time frames. Oh, but Pastor, that's not possible because my life has time frames. Sure it does. But God knows that. So you can still wait on God. See, if you don't learn to wait on God, patience will never have its complete work in you. So you've got to trust Him. It's a trust issue. Waiting on God is a trust issue. It's a faith issue. And so we've got to do that. We've got to recognize He's not through with us. We can't get discouraged. We can't get too out of sorts. We just got to wait. And then the whole time we're waiting, we've got to watch. Here's what happens. Waiting doesn't mean just check out. Waiting means watching. Do you remember when Jesus told the disciples He was going to pray, and He said, "You wait here." And He said, "Watch with Me." And He came back, and what were they doing? They were sleeping. They weren't watching. They were sleeping. They had checked out. You know what I believe? I believe that when we should be watching, we're sleeping. We're checked out. Think of what they would have seen if they would have been watching. Think of what the disciples would have. Think of the knowledge they would have had if they would have been watching Jesus as He agonized in that garden. He did, but not far. If you read, he left some, but then Peter, James, and John, He took a little farther, and He told them, "Watch with Me here," and then He went just a little farther. If they could have been watching, they could have seen how to overcome. Because Jesus came back and He said, "Are you sleeping? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." See, here's the thing. Waiting doesn't mean just check out. Waiting means watching. Watching to see what God's doing around you. Watching to see for the little things that God is showing to you. Watching to see God's provision as He brings it to you. You're letting patience have its perfect work. And you may not have everything all at once, but God will bring you handfuls on purpose. He'll give you things, if you're watching, that will prepare you. He'll bring a word to you. See, I've seen people that are going through various trials, and they're discouraged. They're dissatisfied with their current situation. They're apprehensive about the future. And so what do? They isolate themselves. Well, they don't go to church. They stay home. They're just too worked up. They're not watching. They're not in a place where God could speak to them. You got to stay engaged so that God can impart to you what it is He has for you. Even while you're waiting, even while you're waiting on something bigger, don't overlook what God does bring to you. Amen. Don't overlook. Because if you're not watching, then you'll never be able to learn to worship. If you're not waiting, and while waiting, if you quit watching for what God is up to, not what you want Him to do, but what He's doing. Amen. How many are pretty good at watching for God to do what you've wanted Him to do? But I'm saying we need to watch for what He's doing, not just for what we wanted Him to do. And then learn to worship Him for who He is. See, Moses is on the backside of the desert. He's watching. He's learning. He's waiting. He's just watching his surroundings. God's providing all along the way. God's kept him in health, and God's kept him safe, and God has just continued to walk with him, and he's growing, and he's learning, and he's preparing for something, and he's watching until he sees a bush that burns, and is not consumed, and he stops to see what's going on. He wants to take notice of what God is doing around him. Amen. And then the voice of the Lord speaks to him out of the bush, and he says, take off your shoes, for you're on holy ground. And Moses is able to worship on the backside of the desert because he was watching for what God would do, not just for what he wanted. He's letting patience have its perfect work. So he's waiting, he's watching. Now, I'm not saying he's waiting, saying, oh, I know God's going to bring me back and I'm going to deliver us. I don't believe Moses felt that, but Moses obviously had something in his heart that he knew God had called him to something because he tried to do it too early. And then he thought he had blown his opportunity, but he's still moving. He's waiting and he's watching, and now he's worshiping and he's working the whole time. He's continuing to be productive. Do you know you can keep being productive even in a bad current situation if you'll just stay faithful to the Lord? Amen. Even if you feel like this is just temporary, even if you feel like something else is coming, work while you're here. There's some principles in the Bible. Here, let me take you to one. Go with me to Ecclesiastes. Well, I better go the right way in my Bible or I'll never get to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10. Live joyfully with the wife whom... Sorry, wrong verse. Verse 10. Whatever you... That's a good verse, by the way. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your... life, which he has given you under the sun. That's a good thing. Verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Whatever your hand finds to do, wherever you are, work. Paul would write, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he would write, and in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, he will write, whatever your hands find to do, you do all that you do for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, he said, you eat and drink, or whatever you do, do for the glory of God. In Colossians 3, 17, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Work while you're waiting, while you're watching, while you're worshiping, keep working. Keep doing what God has put in front of you to do. Amen. By doing this, you are allowing patience now to have a perfect, complete work in you. You're not so impatient and so distracted that you can't do what you need to do because you're so distracted by what you want to do. Because if you are too distracted by what you want to do what you need to do, it will divide your life. And it'll make things harder. Okay? So you got to do. You got to work. You got to labor where you are. Whatever your hands find to do, do it. Work. Do something for God. I tell people all the time, when you're in need, do something for somebody else. We'll have people all the time, when they're in need praying, I'll have them pray for someone else in need. Take your mind off of your need for a moment. Pray for someone else in need. Work while you're waiting. Amen? Wait. Watch. Because God's doing something. I hear people say all the time, well, God, I don't see God doing anything. Well, you're not watching. You're only looking for him to do what you want him to do. But just because he hasn't done yet what you want him to do doesn't mean he's not doing anything. You're just not watching. Well, I need this amount of money by this time, and I don't see God doing it. But he's bringing you things all along the way that you're going to need along the way. But you're just ignoring that. Right? Watch. Watch God. Watch him do things. Watch what he's doing in others' lives. And don't grow envious about it or jealous about it. Just know if he can do it for them, he can do it for you. Amen? Watch. So wait, watch, worship. I want to tell you, if you can learn to worship in waiting times, then you got this thing. If you can learn to truly worship in times of waiting, you got it. You're going to be just fine. You'll worship your way through every problem. You'll worship your way through every situation. So wait, watch, worship, and all along the way work. Just keep going. Just keep going. And keep going. And when you don't think you can go any farther, just keep going. And when you're ready to quit, just keep going. Amen? And when you don't think you have strength to do anymore, ask God for wisdom and just keep going. Pray for strength to keep going. Let patience have its perfect work, right? Consider it all joy when you fall into all sorts of various trials, knowing this, that the testing of your faith is working patience. It's producing patience. And patience will have its completed work in you. And throughout the process, ask God. Communicate with God. Ask God for wisdom in faith. Not doubting, not being so impatient, not allowing your dissatisfaction with the current and your apprehension of the future to cause you to miss what God's doing right now in your wait time. Because it's right now in your time of waiting God's preparing you for the assignment that He's about to release to you. Amen. Israel kept walking around and around the mountain because they kept being impatient. They kept clamoring for the things they wanted rather than just being patient about what God had promised. And they had to keep walking around and around a mountain until a whole generation died off. Until another generation rose up that would say, hey, we waited long enough. Let's try this thing God's way. Right? So learn from these. The Bible even says all of these are given for your instruction. Learn from them. Let patience have its perfect work. So what we're going to do over the next couple weeks is we're going to talk about, okay, when I'm struggling with dissatisfaction with my current situation, that's telling me there's something in me I need to deal with. So what do I need to deal with in those moments? And we're going to look at a few of those things out of the Scripture. And then the week following that, we're going to look at when I find myself so apprehensive about the future that I need to recognize there's something in my relationship with God that I've got to work through. Because I shouldn't be this apprehensive about the future if I trust God the way I say I do. So I need to understand my relationship with Him right now, and I got to work on that. And then we'll close it up with, then we are prepared for assignments and what that means as God gives it to us. So we're gonna walk through that, but you need to understand it's a journey of patience completing you. And there's a purpose for every moment. And then there's a moment for every purpose. But if you don't take advantage of the purpose for every moment, you'll miss the moment that comes for every purpose. So, let patience have a complete work in you. How many know you don't get patience quickly? Right? We can't say, hey, everyone that wants patience, raise your hand. And say, everybody come forward. If you raise your hand, come forward and pray. And we're going to ask God for you to have patience when you leave. That's not how it works. I wish it was. But that's just not how. And we don't just get up from the altar and say, whew, I'm patient now. Thank you, Lord. No, you still got to walk it out. You still got to learn to wait, and you still got to watch, and you still got to worship, and you still got to work. You got to ask God for wisdom every step of the way. And so this is the wisdom that God's giving us to teach us to be complete at the time He's leading us to. Amen. Let me think you can get something out of that to apply in your life at some point. See, wherever you are right now, you can apply one of those four things, if not all four of those. You can apply waiting. You can apply watching. Ruth would have never been able to provide for her and Naomi if she had not been watching for the little handfuls on purpose that Obed had told his servants to leave behind. She could have missed her provision looking for some huge harvest. But while waiting, she watched. And she worshiped over the handfuls. Amen. See, some of you, we need to learn to worship over the handfuls. She worked. And she kept going until God provided her answer. So let's take this journey together and let's see where the Lord leads us. And I hope that you're going to pull some things out of this that'll let patience bring a complete work into your life. It's not coincidence. It's because you're watching. And God's good. Now, we don't understand everything and how he does everything, and we wish he'd do it all. We're in a microwave society. We wish everything would just happen. You know, you pop it in, 30 seconds later it pops out, and we don't have to go through anything. Everything's good. But that's just not life. You can keep watching. Amen. And you can keep working. There are times in life you may not be able to do everything you once did. You might go through some things that you might have to let go of some things, but don't let go of everything. If you could let a pastor give you any words of wisdom from my years of experience with people, I've seen people say to me, "Pastor, I'm so worn down and struggling and my need is so great, I'm gonna have to let go of things." And I'll tell them, that's fine. I mean, if you gotta let go of things, you gotta let go. But don't let go of everything. But I've seen them let go of everything. And let me tell you, it didn't get better for them. It only got worse. Because they weren't learning to wait and watch and worship and work. It doesn't mean you have to do everything, but keep connected, doing what God has put before you to do. Amen. Sometimes your work may just be to pray or to read, to study, to talk to somebody else. Keep working. Because patience is growing in you, faith is growing, and there's a complete person being made in this moment. Amen. Think about it this way. When patience has its perfect works, that means complete. So if I patiently allow God to complete me, he's completing me for a reason. I am completing something because that's not going to be the end. I'm going to complete something because God has something else for me besides this current thing. But I got to complete this to get that. Amen. I was taught, I don't know if you were or not, I was taught by people in my life that you do everything that you can within your power to finish well. So I was taught, if you're changing a job, I was taught, my dad taught me and my family taught me and people in my life taught me, if I'm going to be finishing a job, don't half-heartedly finish it. Don't Don't lay down at the end. Finish it well. Because then you're prepared to begin the next thing well. Amen. So let patience complete you here so that you can start there in a new place. Stand your feet with me tonight. We'll get into it. We'll talk around some of these concepts together. Remember this about life. Life is always about God, you, and others. But love God with all your heart, soul, mind, everything that's in you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Life is about God. Life is about others, and life is about you. So every stage of life, you have to address the God issue, the you issue, and the others issue. Amen. Now, what's the biggest issue for most of us? The me issue. But you got to address it. Amen. Let's pray.